The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Friday's edition, where on this edition we're going to be focusing on all the action at Royal Ascot on Friday. For live commentary, results and tips on Friday's racing, make sure you tune into Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Paddy Aspel and Andrew Mount, your studio team. They'll be covering the afternoon racing from Royal Ascot, Redcar and Market Raisin. And in the evening, they'll be covering cars from Ayr, Goodwood and Newmarket. But joining myself, Michael Wood, to preview Friday action at Royal Ascot is Chris Pimlott. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
Very good afternoon to you, Michael, and goodness gracious me, this is the first time I've done the podcast with you. What an honour and a pleasure. Are you a rookie presenter?
No, I've been doing this for quite a while, but the pleasure is all mine, Chris.
Well, you've got to get through it first, young fella. You've got to get through it.
Got to get through it. Just before we get into Friday's action, Chris, let's take a look back at Wednesday's action at Royal Ascot. And it was the second big Royal Ascot win for Adam Kirby with Dreamboat in the Prince of Wales Stakes. It was quite a performance, wasn't it?
Oh, a fantastic performance. Obviously bitterly disappointed that the Japanese runner didn't turn up. But wow, what a result for the Roonies, who blue and yellow quartered colours are more known for their success on the National Hunt Game. Second in the National this year with their horse as well. But no, fantastic performance. Adam Kirby come to the fore. I mean, earlier on this season he was saying that he's not just a one-trick jockey, he's not just a man for the winter months on the artificial surface. He's proved that over the last couple of days at the Royal Meeting. And again, it just shows if you're not in it, you can't win it. Rank outsider of the six at 16-1. And he battled on tenaciously to deny Found, who again, to be fair, ran another cracking race in defeat.
Indeed, and it's been an eventful week for Adam Kirby with the birth of his son the day before.
Yeah, God blimey, his emotions must be very high at the minute. Birth of his first son, two big race winners at Royal Ascot, and his bandwagon continues to roll on.
And he touched upon Ashin Akari. Obviously, he was a big favourite beforehand, and he just never got going, did he?
Well, I think, to be fair, he more than likely ran a little bit too free. Didn't really settle in the hands of Yakutaki, and I think the writing was on the wall for him a long way home.
Well, it's also a great day for the Godolphin team as well. A treble with winners trained in three different countries. I mean, that's some going, isn't it?
Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And I can only think that the resurgence of the boys in blue is that they've put John Ferguson at the head of the helm. As a head of operations, he looked like he had a very, very good relationship with all three stables that won with the Godolphin horses yesterday. I think they're going to have over 50 runners at the Royal Meeting this week, so that shows the strength in depth. And we need them to have success. They're wonderful supporters of the game. We need them to be winning on the big stage to continue their enthusiasm and continue their support.
Well, Chris, let's get stuck into Friday's action at Royal Ascot. We begin at 2:30 with the Albany Stakes. So there's 6 furlongs with 16 runners. What will be your best bet here?
Again, 7 of these fillies put their unbeaten record on the line tomorrow afternoon in the opening Albany Stakes. And I think the Aidan O'Brien filly Cuff is the one that's up that we've all got to beat tomorrow afternoon. She's proven on the ground with a little bit of cut in it. She won her listed fillies stakes at Nace last time out. She won that quite cosily. And I think there's a little bit more to come from her, Cuff. And obviously she's from the all-conquering stable of Aidan O'Brien. The one I thought could up a game slightly is the Richard Fahey trained filly Queen Kindly. I mean, her success at Catterick was a long, long way away from the Albany Stakes here at Royal Ascot tomorrow. But again, she was a 2-5 favourite on that day. She could do no more than win very cosily. And a double-figure price she could welcome into the equation.
Well, Cuff looks like the one to beat, and it's the current 9-4 favourite in the opener at Royal Ascot on Friday. Well, let's move on to the second race of the day, the 3.05, the King Edward, the 7th Stakes, and it's over 1 mile and 4 furlongs. 9 runners here, Chris. What appeals to you?
Well, you just run me through the betting very quickly, can you there, Michael? And I'll just like guide me a little bit closer. I'm sure number 4, Choreographer, is going to lead this field a merry dance.
Well, here's the current early prices for that 3.05. And the early favourite is Beacon Rock at 3-1. Then it's Carntop at 9-2. Choreographer at 6s. Humphrey Bogart at 7s. Lustrous Light at 8. Linguistic at 9-1. Across the Stars is 12-1. As is Houses of Parliament, as well is Muntar.
Yeah, so a fairly open-looking market, to be fair, for the Group 2 King Edward Stakes. And again, interesting that Beacon Rock from the all-conquering O'Brien-Ryan Moore combination that it looks like being our early price favourite. Again, he made all and was pushed out to win at the Curra last time out. Group 3 status for that race. Again, on yielding to soft ground, and that certainly is going to hold him in good stead tomorrow afternoon. Carntop's interesting, 7-4 favourite when beaten by Humphrey Bogart. We know what Humphrey Bogart's gone on to do, ran really well in the Derby when he finished 5th. Whether he's going to again be good enough to get the job done tomorrow afternoon remains to be seen. And the other horse that I liked was the Linguistic, blinking on for the first time tomorrow for John Gosden and William Buick. Slightly disappointed when getting beaten by Steel of Madrid at Newmarket last time out when a 4-7 on favourite. But again, I think the blinkers could possibly just sharpen his game. So I think Beacon Rock's going to be the one they've all got to beat, the 3-1 favourite. But I feel that if you're looking for an each-way slant on the race, it could be number 7, Linguistic.
So Linguistic, an interesting one in the second race of the day. Let's move on to the 3.40 at Royal Ascot. And this is one that I think definitely catches the eye, the Commonwealth Cup. It's over 6 furlongs with 12 runners and some nice prize money on offer as well, Chris. What would be your best bet here?
If Quiet Reflection turns up in the form of his Haydock run last time out, then again, the one they've all got to beat. Very, very special win last time out. Quickened up in the style of a top-class horse. Group 2 status for that Haydock race. And that brings the best form to the table, Quiet Reflection. Trained in the north at Midland by Cal Burke and ridden by former national jockey Dougie Costello. It would actually be a great tale if Quiet Reflection could win the Commonwealth Cup with that Group 1 status and that prize of $243,000. I was reading in the paper today, if he wins a big race at Ascot this week, Dougie Costello, motorbike mad, yep, going to buy himself a new Ducati, whatever one of them is.
He can do if he's winning that sort of money, so good luck to him. And Quiet Reflection is the favourite at this moment in time at 7-4.
Yeah, and a confident selection here.
Let's move on to the 4.20 at Ascot. It's the Coronation Stakes. It's over 1 mile. It's a Group 1 race as well with 13 runners here. What do you see winning?
Well, very, very interesting race for the fillies. Group 1 status as well. So lot to look forward to here. Plenty of these coming to the race with big chances. But I thought Memabiria was the interesting one here. And she is trained by Jeremy Nasida. Was a winner first time out this season when we saw her at York in a listed fillies race. She won by 6 lengths on that occasion. A lot to like about that performance. And Olivia Pellier gets the leg up tomorrow afternoon. So a major player for me is Nemarilia. And the other one that I thought was interesting is the Irish challenger Jet Setting. Got some great form on the Curra when winning a Group 1 race last time out by a head. She beat Minding on that occasion and again brings that same sort of form to the table tomorrow afternoon. A major player.
Well, Nemarilia is 4-1 and the favourite in that one is Jet Setting. So those are the two to look out for in the 4.20. Let's move on to the 5 o'clock at Ascot. The penultimate race on the card for the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes. It's a nice handicap here of over 1 mile and 4 furlongs. Plenty of runners in this one, Chris, at 22 in fact. What's caught your eye?
Well, cor blimey, very, very competitive race indeed, as you could imagine, for the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes. It's a 1.5 mile handicap. I don't know how the market reflects my two horses' chances here Michael, but I think there's two horses in the race that could be major players that have met each other already this season, and that's in the shape of Elite Army and Missed Call.
Well, Elite Army currently leads the betting at 6-1, and was it Missed Call was your other selection?
Yep.
It's a bigger price. It's currently 16-1 with William Hill.
Well, these two guys met last time out at Ascot over the tomorrow's trip of a mile and a half in a listed race, and Elite Army got the job done after quite a long absence, and he raced off a mark of 105 tomorrow, but there could be a little bit more to come from him. 41 days since that race, and as I say, on that occasion he had the James Fanshawe runner Miss Call in third place on that day. And again, if Miss Call can up his game from that performance, having beaten 3 1/4 lengths, then I definitely feel he's a player tomorrow this afternoon. So you say favourite was 4-1 Elite Army, 6-1?
6-1.
6-1, and Miss Call up
16-1.
16-1. You could have both of those if you wanted at each way. We'll be back in each way on the first four home. And again, as you can imagine, in such a competitive handicap, a little bit of a minefield, and you could make a case for plenty of them. But Elite Army and Miss Call, hopefully, to do battle again in the finish, as they did here at Ascot back in May.
Yeah, those two attracting plenty of appeal. Well, let's move on to the final race on Friday at Royal Ascot for the Queen's Vase, a listed race over 2 miles, 19 runners, so another big field here. Chris, what would be your best bet?
Have you ever been to Royal Ascot, Michael?
I've not been.
Never been. Okay. Well, been on many occasions, and the highlight for me every day, you always got the Queen's Parade up the track at 2 o'clock. You've got fantastic racing, none better than the first day on the Tuesday with those four Group 1s. But there's something you have to do if you go to Royal Ascot. After racing, go round the bandstand. It's very British. Flags waving, and that, you know, the Union Jacks, the band playing all the old songs from yesteryear. And that's why I'm pointing in the direction of Land of Hope and Glory, because that's what they'll be singing there this afternoon. That's what they'll be singing there tomorrow afternoon and Saturday afternoon after racing. Land of Hope and Glory, again, very, very capable racehorse in his own right. And again, he ran really well behind Beacon Rock in a Group 3 last time out. So for me, he holds sway in the Queen's Vase. But again, the tip of 2 miles, more rain could make it a real slog, especially at the end of day four.
Well, Land of Hope and Glory currently sitting third in the betting in the last race at Royal Ascot on Friday at 8-1. So just, you fancy that.
Just pull me the top two favourites there, Michael.
So it's Ebidin at 9-2, that's the current favourite. And it's Ormito at 11-2. And then it's your selection of Land of Hope and Glory at 8-1.
Yeah, well, you can see where they're coming from with Ebion. That beat Kellstrom in May, again, on yielding to good soft ground at Nace. So that form's pretty solid. And again, Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen teaming up there. So I can see why there are odds compilers have put Ebion at the top of the market. And what was second favourite, Michael?
Second favourite was Ormito at 11-2.
Ormito, yeah. Well, again, interesting player from the Andrew Baldwin yard. Again, has ran really well in defeat on the last couple of occasions. Was third of four at Goodwood in the listed stakes. But again, in this listed contest tomorrow afternoon, could well be a player.
Well, thank you, Chris, for your thoughts. And can you just give us a quick recap on your selections?
So, running through my selections for tomorrow on the fourth day of the Royal Meeting. In the opening stakes, the Albany Stakes, Group 3 status for the fillies, I'm going to side with Cuff for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, looking for a bit of each-way value with Queen Kindly. In the 3.05, again, a Group 2 race here, siding with Beacon Rock for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. And again, a little bit of an each-way slant there on Linguistic. In the Commonwealth Cup, the feature race of the day, I'm going to side here with Quiet Reflection, who is going to be my most confident bet of the afternoon. At 4.40, looking here towards Nemarilia for Jerry Manistida and Olivia Pellier. A very competitive handicap at 5 o'clock, taking two against the field, Elite Army and Miss Call. And the finale of the day, it's got to be, hand on heart, Land of Hope and Glory.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.